words that I choose to describe KP will fall short from the real thing. Meeting KP was divine intervention. It was at the pit of my downhill spiral, and I was ready to put myself out there and stop trying to be somebody that I wasn't. And by that I mean, you know, the kind of person that just wants other people to think that they're doing well, and instead of focusing on the things you need, you just focus on the things that will make you appear put together. Because I never wanted to admit what was actually happening. But I saw myself reflected in KP's story. The way in which she shared herself on every post, every story, the way that she just got in front of the camera blew me away. And it brought tears to my eyes because I realized that I finally found a friend that I can be completely open with. And not just that, it also allowed me to give myself permission to put myself out there. So this is her story. It's one of our many conversations. And without further ado, I introduce you to Queen KP herself, Corey Pickett.
I don't know what I need. I don't know what I need. I look around this room and it's all here. I just don't know exactly where the answer is. All I know is that it's here. When I'm filled with the spirit, I feel crazy. It feels like everyone of the world just disappears and falls away. I find myself begging for presence by my side, to share my space again, begging for someone to sit inside the love of God with me, the same begging I did at my mother's deathbed. I fought. I learned how to be a warrior through my mother's death. I learned how to fight. I learned how to fight, and I learned how to be a wife. How to be a wife to yet another soul that I begged to sit inside the love of God with me. I begged so hard that I believed that I belonged outside the love of God. I placed my believing outside the love of God for a man that refused to love the God that I loved. There's a verse somewhere that talks about being unequally yoked. I now believe that to hold a much deeper meaning. Unequally loving. Unequally willing. Oh, the teachings I ignored for a life that I thought I would adore. I wanted it all. I wanted it all so fast and so soon. I felt like everything would just be taken. I'm always running from something. Running from something. But lately, I've been running towards. Running towards glory. So much glory. Glory for the past that has pained me. Glory for the fights I've fought. Glory for becoming a warrior. A warrior that was made through the writing. I've written through sorrow. I've written through pain. I've written through love lost. I've written through love gained. Heartbreak is no longer my definer. I don't live in my pains, but I feel through them. They knock on my door, but it's not my wellness they come for. I'm unable to add to another while still learning to add to myself. Learning my love may never be a joint venture again. Vows are a mental bind that may never be escaped. I often wonder what it will feel like to slow dance with another heartbeat. A love that appreciates from the jump. A love that is warm and safe to touch. A love that welcomes rest and offers peace. A love worthy and naturally made for this wandering spirit. Cohorts in freedom. Cohorts in loving. Cohorts in a space genuine and pure.
How I decided what I wanted to talk to you about was like based upon what I've been like emotionally dealing with. And I realized like everything that I've been dealing with in this season, there is literally no way I could have a quote unquote normal job. Like legit, like I've been thinking like the weight of life that's been happening, like I could never, like I would have to take so much time off. I would get fired. Like there's literally no other life other than a creative life for me, probably ever, but definitely in this season. And it's like, I don't understand how people are adequately there for their family if they have like a 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how they process emotion. I don't, like, I'm just like, can I not be a functioning human in the world? Or like, I don't know. Just navigating emotions while also making a living, which has a lot to do with like mental illness. Like, people do not ever believe that I suffer from depression, and I'm over here like right, like, do you know how hard it was to get out of bed?
Sometimes you surprise yourself, though, because I agree with everything that you just said, and I've been experiencing the wave of all of these emotions and all of these stages. And there's a moment that you spin out of control trying to balance everything in your life, and there are no answers. Mm-hmm. You know, you look around and you try to see if maybe somebody could offer some advice. Everybody around you, they don't speak your language. So here you are, like, I don't know, an alien from outer space.
Yeah.
Everybody looks at you like something's wrong with you. And then you start to wonder, I actually did it. I actually lost my mind. I need to go to an insane asylum right now. And then your heart starts racing. You get paranoid. What's going to happen to me? I'm going to be in an insane asylum? Is that where I belong? In a padded room? You know, like, your mind just takes you everywhere. And then life hits you. And you're like, you're going to be late to work. And you're like, oh, here I am thinking I'm going crazy.
Yeah.
But I still have to be disciplined enough to make it a work on time and not get fired. And then you go through roller coasters and like, and you go through all this shit to make sure that you make it. And then you make it like 3 minutes late.
Right. I can't do that. Like, genuinely. I'm like, I can't. I worked in corporate America for 5 years. And I legitimately almost lost my mind doing it. Like, when I think about it, like you saying the like whole padded room thing, when I think of a padded room, I think of like the office I used to have to work in every day, because it had no windows. Like, legitimately, it had no windows. Like, we had no view of the outside. I need the
sunlight.
Yeah. I never knew what time of day it was. I would walk and I was like, I don't even know if it's raining. I don't even know if the sun's shining. I don't even know what the weather is. Because I would get there when it was dark, basically leave there when it was dark. That is slavery. Like, I can't. Like, I'm like, I can't. I can't be in this room where I'm literally working for someone else's dream.
Definitely.
I'm like, if I'm going to struggle, I have to struggle for my own dream, not someone else's. Because I don't know what I'm working for if it's somebody else's. Like, at least for me, I'm like, oh, I know what this purpose is. I know what this calling is. When it's somebody else's, I'm like, but why? Like, what? Like, what am I actually doing besides putting money in your pocket?
Yeah.
Like, it's different if you're working for like an entity that like a nonprofit or something. Mm-hmm. If you're working for that, you see what you're doing. And you can easily like fall into that if that's what you want to do. But it's like, I feel like when you have a bigger vision, it's almost impossible to work a quote unquote regular job. Like, I'm like, now I'm like, I've been doing this whole creative living thing for like, I'm going into my third year. And I'm like, I don't think I could ever be employed. Like, I'm like, if I showed someone my resume, they'd probably be like blown out of the water. Like, even like a design firm or something. But then I'd have to be like, yeah, I could work for you, but I can never be here. And
I mean, I'm in this weird predicament because I've been working in the freelance world for such a long time.
Yeah.
To allow me the flexibility to say, I'll work my schedule the way that I want it to. Mm-hmm. So if something comes up, I could just call a company and say, hey, I'm going to be out for 3 weeks. Don't put me on the schedule. Right. And then when I come back, put me back on. So it's like that with catering companies and brand ambassador companies. And the moment that you come back to work.
Right. You just fall back in.
But then it's like, you know, you're trying to, like you mentioned earlier, balance everything in your life. And then all of a sudden I felt like, okay, the creative stuff is not happening as fast as I wanted it to. Mm-hmm. My personal life is falling apart. And like, how do I keep going towards this creative side if it's not lucrative for me right now? And then everybody around you is telling you what's wrong with you. Why don't you just choose a real job? And I'm like, I have five. I have five different jobs. Wow. I'm a dog walker. I'm a freaking hostess. I do coat check. I'm the person that waves at you at these brand things.
Yeah.
You name it, I've done it.
Right.
It's not easy to balance all of that. and then still hear people, you know, with their judgments. And it's always the people that are the closest to you.
It is. It really is. And like, that's what's hard, because those are the people that you should be able to like lean on.
Yeah.
Especially like family. Like, I know it's been difficult for my family to understand what I do and how I do it. Like, when I say creative living, nobody understands that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, let me break it down for you real quick. I have, at all times, at least 7 to 8 streams of income. That doesn't mean they're all, like, heavy and, like, high dollar. That means, okay, I get gas money for getting my cousins to school 3 times a week. Okay, I do pop-up shops, bring in jewelry. Okay, I print the magazine. I sell it. Okay, I will sometimes be a barista. Mm-hmm. Figure that's like maybe a couple days a week. Cool. If I need to do that, tips are awesome. I will build websites, run social media. I will do design a poster for an event. You know, like, you have to literally go through every skill that you have and figure out how to monetize it without hating it, because it's something that you are passionate about. And I feel like if you're not careful, you can quickly hate your gifts, which I've had to be like super, super mindful about. Like,
expand on that a little bit more, because I'm actually at that moment where I am devoting all of my time into my creative passions and all of my projects and make something lucrative out of it as I'm creating it. So I no longer have to go back to working these odd jobs for now and switch that hustle to a creative hustle and do more production work, edit, direct, and put myself out there as a producer and a stylist.
I mean, the biggest thing that changed for me was when I started claiming what I am and what I do. Like, when I started saying, like, I'm a writer, then it's like people would look at me and be like, oh, yeah, she writes. Or, like, you know, like, before, it's like, especially, like, working in a coffee shop, being a barista, I would let that define me. Like, granted, I wasn't there full time, but that's how people view a job.
Oh, like, yeah.
If people can't see something, they don't view it as a job, which I don't understand. But it's like, they don't understand that what we're doing right now is work.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's the hard work, because it's so introspective. It's so like, when you are doing everything, you have to literally do everything. So it's like, if you figure out what you're good at, then you just have to essentially flip it. So for me, it really started, I was like, hey, I know lots of musicians, lots of artists that have no idea how to run a business. They didn't know how to build a website. They didn't know how to run social media. They didn't know how to do the business side of things, even though they knew how to create all of this incredible art and music. Mm-hmm. So I would go to them and be like, hey, I'll build a website with you so that you can update it when I'm all done. But you just have to pay me a flat fee. And people would be like, how do you price? I'm like, I legit would look at my like clients or my friends and be like, what can you afford? Because I don't do that anymore. But when you start, it's like, I know what it's like to be broke, but have a dream. Mm-hmm. So you figure it out. You're like, what can I do for you? Even if it's a barter system, even like, there is a way to make this work. You just have to be willing to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And at first that was just like, okay, I can't drink like 2 coffees a day. Like, as dumb as it sounds, but it's like, that's something I like really love and really need sometimes. But I was like, okay, let me strip down to only eating at home, only making my own coffee. You know, like, let me see just how much money I actually need versus what I want and work with what I have. Because honestly, a dollar can go a long way.
Seriously, I have been learning that. I have really been learning that. And I'm really grateful that you touch upon that as well. Because, you know, sometimes I'm over here thinking I'm the only one that's going through all of this, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, why are the basic things such a struggle for me?
Yeah.
Even like saving, you said stretching that dollar.
Yeah.
And, yo, you go to the dollar store, you're the richest person there, you know. Then I have these thoughts, what can we do to help each other creatively?
Yeah.
like you mentioned, for me that meant so much when I chatted with you and I was like, hey, I want to do this, but I am so lost. And it's crazy that we're picking up almost a year later.
Yeah.
And it made me realize the importance of meeting with you and talking to you, and you broke everything down for me. And I had all of this tangled web of ideas, and it's taken this long to finally say, okay, let's continue where we left off. But feeling that, it was like, okay, this is like teamwork. This is a collaboration, and it's awesome.
You have to always work with what you have. Because yeah. Like, the biggest lesson I learned, like, within the past like year especially, is that sometimes what you might view as a hardship will end up being your biggest blessing. Like when I got like that hit and run where that dude T-boned me and totaled my car, the biggest blessing. Like, and I say that and people think I'm crazy. I'm like, no, because my car got totaled. And you know what they sent me? Money. Like they sent me money for that car.
Yeah.
Do you think you can do with money? You can either save it or you can spend it.
Yeah.
What did I choose to do? Save it. It was the first time in my life that I could be like, wow, like I have over $500 to my name that's like safe.
Yes.
And right? I can like let it grow and I can continue. Like, and granted, I'm going to be 30 this year. Like that's saying something. It's taken a long time for me to even like understand savings and understand like, oh, like how to actually use money.
I'm just really excited for you because you're learning this 5 years before I did.
That makes me feel really great because I'm like, whoa, I am a little bit behind. But that's the thing. Like, age ain't nothing but a number. Like,
it's, no, but sometimes you look at it and I think a lot of people, they don't understand why I am the way I am, because they look at me and they're like, bro, you're old as fuck. And I'm here. No, I'm not.
Right. That's when you understand, like, you are a spiritual being just having a human experience. Because, like, your spirit is not, you can't put a number. You can't put an age on a spirit. Like, you just can't.
I'm like a big kid, but I'm also really mature. And I was that kid that used to have adult friends.
Same.
My friends were my teachers.
Yep.
You know, and I would sit there and analyze the world. I'm like, what do you know about life? You're 8.
It's almost like we did it backwards.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I had that thought today. I was like writing and I was thinking about like childlike wonder. Like when I was in Washington, literally, I swear every tree was like, climb me. And I would just go and hop on trees. I would find like, I found this driftwood that looked like a teeter-totter. And I was like, nature is literally a huge playground. The people I was with were like, how do you just like see something like that and think like, oh, this is for me? And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain that. All I know is like, but it is for me because it's part of creation and I've been created. So why wouldn't we coexist and intermingle and essentially play? Like, and then I realized like, oh, like people really let go of their childlike wonder. They really do. And I try to be mindful to like tap into mine because I feel like it has to be a very heartbreaking feeling to no longer have that.
I'm so excited that you're touching upon these topics because those are reflections that I've had that I wish I could have talked them through with someone.
Yeah.
Because I didn't realize I was such a big kid.
Yeah.
You know, until I started being around kids, and I love kids.
They make so much sense. I go back to like, is that why I have to like live the way that I live and do what I do?
Yes.
Because I am a kid. Like,
yes.
And I keep saying, like, I tell people all the time, like, I've been adopted by many. Like, I really feel like the people that love me in life end up raising me in some form or fashion. Like, they teach me lessons. They house me. They feed me. They, you know, like, they may not view it as raising, but I'm like, I learn something with every person that hosts me, good or bad. Like, I either learn something about myself, or I learn something about them, or I learn something about the world. And it's like, that's what children do. Like, children are always learning and always seeking and always like yearning for more. And I'm like, I never want to lose that ever.
And they're so honest. Like,
honest.
They're so incredibly honest. I have learned how to be honest because I've been blessed to be able to babysit as like one of my sources of income.
Right.
Bro, I got paid to watch cartoons and eat snacks
Yeah.
Bro, take me to the park every day. The parents pay for you to have that. You get to experience the fun part of having a child.
Like, it's the same with like being an aunt. I love it. I'm like, oh, yeah. I'll be your auntie because I can stay for this long and give you back.
The funniest thing is I think I had this realization maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. I have adult temper tantrums.
Oh,
like,
sure.
I am a big 3-year-old.
For sure.
I can't believe it.
I mean, you've experienced some of mine where I'm like, I don't want to do that. Like, I'm just like, no.
Mine are dramatic. And I'm like, wow, I let my emotions take over completely. All of a sudden, you're so sensitive and you cry.
Because we're adults, we have to learn how to navigate through it. But it's like as kids, when that would happen, because it did happen, if you didn't have anyone to teach you how to navigate through that, then that's why it's happening as an adult.
And that's the key, because I think I, for one, I automatically felt shame.
Oh, yeah.
I did not find that to be pleasant whatsoever. So not only was I experiencing that overwhelming sadness, but then the embarrassment of being that sensitive as a grown-ass adult. Like, why are you crying over something so ridiculous? But, you know, the deeper you go into asking yourself those questions, you find out, oh, it's from something that happened when I was a kid and I was really afraid.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to express my emotions. Oh, that's why I'm having this panic. That panic started here. So you have to experience it again until you're ready to relive it. When you relive it, you take your power back because you notice this situation that broke me, that caused me this fear, it actually made me stronger. So I am going to forgive myself. Mm-hmm. And I am going to forgive those people around me because I don't want to carry that weight on me. And you break free from that. So it's no longer a trigger in your present life. And nobody sits there and has these conversations with you. So when you're having this panic attack, you know, you can't breathe, nothing makes sense, you know, you isolate yourself, you feel all this shame because of your sensitivity. And you're thinking, you know, maybe, I don't know, something's wrong with me. And everybody around you is telling you what is wrong with you.
Right.
So I think having that outlet and being able to take accountability for starting the process, to ask yourself those tough questions, to stop judging yourself and start embracing, this is who I am and this is what I'm experiencing and I'm a human being.
Right.
You know, I have feelings.
Absolutely. And it's what I call the hard work. Like,
oh, it totally is.
It's the work that goes unpaid. It's the work that goes unnoticed. It's the work that, like, you have to do all the time in order to heal and in order to continue on in this life. Like, it is not easy to be introspective and to really face things that have harmed you. It's not easy to face trauma. It's not easy to heal from trauma. I get why people don't do it. Like, I completely understand why people choose not to do it, because it's brutal. And sometimes when, like, the truths that you find out about yourself or about your life are not easy to accept. And it's like you're faced then with this choice of, like, do I keep going or do I just stop? But it's like once you start, you really don't have a choice but to keep going. Because I was just, like, thinking about this, like, I know what it felt like. Like, I know what it felt like to struggle and search for answers. Mm-hmm. And even, like, in a more materialistic form, like, I know what it felt like to be scared that I'm not going to be able to pay my rent, or that I'm not going to be able to eat, or that I'm not, you know, like, I know what that felt like. So I never want to feel that again. And it's the same with, like, emotional intelligence and mental growth. Like, you know what it felt like to be in the past versions of yourself. And if you didn't like them, you don't ever want to go back to that.
Yeah. And that's the first step, you know, because a lot of people think that once they accept it, then it's gone. I'm like, what? That's just the intro.
Yeah.
That's like the first episode of the season, okay? Get ready, because it's going to be a bumpy ride. Mm-hmm. And you start discovering different sides of yourself. Yeah. And you start seeing the world in different perspectives all of a sudden. And you start realizing that there is truth in a lot of the things that people say about you. And you take accountability for that. Was I really irresponsible? Was I really unreliable? Okay, that makes sense because I'm not disciplined. Yeah. That's something that I wasn't putting my focus into. Now let me put more focus into that and build on my discipline, build on my habits, be accountable for my commitments, you know, that kind of stuff. So then you start looking at yourself in a different way and, you know, you start understanding people as well. And I feel like I understand criticism so much more now because I don't take anything to heart. Before, I used to say that, but now I mean it. And I'm also learning that there was a lot of things that I used to say. I thought I knew what it was, but now it takes a different meaning because I'm like, no, this is what it really means. Like in the past, I would say it to make people feel comfortable, but in reality, I was hiding my resentment.
Yeah. And that requires you to take a lot of ownership in in what you've been through. And that's not easy to do. That's why, like, I always try to be really intentional, like, especially if people say to me or even if they post about, like, hey, I just went through this experience or I just had this self-revelation. Like, be proud of that. Like, that is the hard work. That's the work that goes so, so unappreciated because, like, you need to know that, like, just because it doesn't look like what everyone else is doing doesn't mean it's not hard and that it's not worth sharing and that it's not worth being proud of. Like, we're all on our own experience and our own journey. And what you choose to do with it is really your business. I will never judge anyone. And that's why I sometimes like struggle with like when I am judged, because I'm like, how are you gonna come for me when I legit did not send for you? Like, I'm over here minding my business, living my life, trying to really elevate my human experience.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's next. I believe that there is good and plenty waiting for me on the other side of this life because of my faith and because of just my own set of self-beliefs. But it's like, no one has a right to tell you that you're not doing great, that you're, you know, like, unless, like, it does have to do with your emotional and mental health. If you're genuinely struggling and you can't face that for yourself, that's a whole different conversation. But when it's, like, it's clear that you're being vulnerable, transparent, you're putting in the work, I hate to see that criticized. I hate it. And I've been a person that's been criticized for it, and it doesn't feel good. Because then you're, like, man, I thought I made progress. But here they are telling me I'm not. That doesn't make sense.
Every time I thought I was over it, the triggers kept showing me I wasn't. And I realized I had to acknowledge that, okay, this is bothering me. What they're saying is bothering me. It bothered me so much. It would occupy my mind all day. I wouldn't do any of the things that I needed to do because I'm so preoccupied with this thought and how to fix it instead of really saying, okay, what is this thing? What is this thing that they're saying about me? Does it carry any truth? And when I say, does it carry any truth? It requires me to be 100% honest and transparent with myself.
Yeah.
Because I'm being real with you. I am going to take care of you, good or bad, to support you as we get our shit together.
But if you can become honest with yourself, you can be honest with others. And I think that's a lot of times people don't realize that. A lot of people are not honest with themselves. Like, I mean, even you saying like, okay, they said this, it's sticking with me. Why does this bother me? Like looking for the root of your feelings. That requires you to be honest with yourself. But a lot of times, like, people will be bothered by something and they just won't search any further. They'll just be like, well, this really bothers me. And they'll keep letting it bother them and they won't ever dive deeper and really see and look for the honest emotion behind why they feel that. Because it's scary and because it's hard. Like, it's brutal. Like, I say all the time, like, I get why people don't do the hard work, but it's incredibly worth it when you do, because then you don't you don't fall into these cycles over and over and over. Yeah. Not saying that like you'll be completely healthy all the time, but you'll know when you start to do unhealthy habits.
Yeah.
And that's why it's like, when I think about like working in a workspace again or anything like that, I'm like, I think the reason really truly that I don't feel I can do it is because I know I wouldn't have the time and space to do the hard work. Like, be able to like grieve properly. I wouldn't be able to have time to just sit and like reflect and process, because I know I'm a person that needs processing time. Like, if we were to have an argument or if anything, like, I can't immediately go into it and explain how I feel. I have to like sit back and be like, what am I feeling? Like, I have to truly process. And that frustrates some people because they want a reaction. And I'm like, but I'm not reactionary. I used to be, because I wouldn't want to deal with my emotions. And I'm like, well, if I just react, I don't have to feel. But no.
I love you for saying that. Thank you, because it just validated so much I've been feeling.
Yeah.
And there were times I questioned that voice. Like you said, you were never like that. You used to react, and that used to be me. And now I wanted to step back and really take ownership of anything. Or is this person overstepping my boundaries?
Right.
Or am I getting defensive about something? Then that means that that's something that I have neglected. So maybe it has nothing to do with them. Maybe I reacted to this trigger. You right. know, you need that time to process all of that and to see what exactly is it that you feel about this person. And sometimes it's difficult, because the only times that we have moments of reflection like that is with people that are the closest to us, mm-hmm. intimately, the closest to seeing us for who we truly are, not just the pieces of us that are broken out in the world. Everybody that knows you has a perception of you, but they don't really know all of you. The people closest to you know all the sides, and it's more vulnerable the more you allow yourself to be seen, because you have to deal with all the feelings that come with it.
Yeah.
Catch part two of this conversation next Thursday, December 4th, and we'll continue talking about creative entrepreneurship, taking the leap of faith, mental health, and everything that pops up in between. Stay blessed, y'all. Have a great one. Peace and love.